the American dream. His last breath, he'll always be a soldier.
Heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
The National Defense is made possible by Ford. Go further. By The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. By ADT Security. More than just a line in the sand. By VSP. For more information on how VSP can help you with your corrective vision needs, visit their website at VSP.com. By Morgan Stanley. Discover how they can help you reach your long-term financial goals at MorganStanley.com. And by Farmers Insurance. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Find an agent at Farmers.com.
This is the National Defense, Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And Jerry, as always, our dedication.
Hey, this show's for you, the men and women serving in our military. It's for the millions of veterans out there, and it's for all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
So, Jerry, this is great. We get to catch up with our friends at the Semper Fi Fund. They've been a part of this program for quite a while.
Quite a while.
And Wendy Lethen is, is that right? Lethen? Lethen?
It's Lethen.
Lethen. Wendy Lethen from the Semper Fi Fund. How are you doing, Wendy?
I'm doing fantastic, and thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to be on your show today.
Hey, absolutely. We are so glad to have you. For the people that don't know what the Semper Fi Fund is, kind of go over that for us, will you?
I'd love to. The Semper Fi Fund, we are a nonprofit, a 501c3, and we are dedicated to providing financial assistance and lifetime support to post-9/11 combat wounded, critically ill and catastrophically injured service members and their families. Our mission is simple. We're there to support our country's heroes in their time of need.
It's a big job.
Yeah, it is.
It's a huge job. And it's
and they've got the right person for it, because Wendy,
right,
married to a colonel in the Marine Corps, retired.
Retired.
But as a wife of a Marine colonel, she kept herself busy,
yeah,
with the families in the Marine Corps, correct, Wendy?
Yes, as a matter of fact, all of us, most of our staff and those of us that were there when we started the fund, we were all very involved in the Key Volunteers and helping, you know, families with resources, with leadership education seminars before the start of the war. So we knew the basic processes of keeping our families together, and we knew America was out there to help.
Yeah, and I didn't realize it's your 14th anniversary. The Semper Fi Fund has been around for 14 years.
Wow, I didn't realize
no.
that.
14 years, and we've been able to provide over $170 million in assistance to our service members.
$170 million?
$1 million to over 20,000 service members.
Wow.
And thousands of family members. And we're so proud. This is a sacred responsibility that we have. And, you know, who knew that the war would go on? When we started, we thought, you know, my goodness, the war would be over if we were able to help just a few service members with whatever we could give. We would be proud of our work, and here we are, so proud of what we are able to do and so honored to serve.
Hey, Wendy, there's a thing that you guys do that I want you to talk about, the apprenticeship program. And it's a cool, really cool program dealing with horsemanship. And I've been around horses all my life, so I know how important that is and how great that can be. But there's some other things involved in that, right?
Right. Well, our apprenticeship program actually grew out of the Jenks McCain Horsemanship Program. As our service members were at some of our horsemanship events and clinics, they wanted to do more. They wanted to do more with their life, and there were things like that we were offering anything that they had a passion for.
Right.
But it started out at the clinics, and it grew from that. And we found out if they took what they loved, and we helped them with either the books or the finances to take the courses, whether it be, you know, a baking class or photography. We have leather crafters. We have spur makers, archery teachers, everything you can think of. It's what our service members love and have the passion for, and it's what we can help them with.
That's cool. I mean, yeah. that's really kind of off the beaten path in terms of, you know, what a lot of organizations help with.
And that's interesting that the Semper Fi Fund takes this tact when it comes to addressing the needs of some of our veterans. Because, you know, and I'm not going to bash VA, but you look at VA and they're so regimented.
Yeah. Right.
And they're not inclusive, you might say, to horseback riding and all these different things that seem to help.
Right. Well, we like to think out of the box, and the apprenticeship program is just one of those ways we can do that. You know, our staff helps the service members develop training and education plans, and it may include vocational training and community college and all kinds of workshops, but it's not everybody can go back to, you know, wants to go back to college. Not everybody wants to sit in a cubicle and have a high, you know, stress job after already doing that and in the service. So this is a way to take what they love, to make it into a business. Oh my goodness, we have one service member that makes the most gorgeous satchels and leather and journals and leather.
Oh wow!
Unbelievable. And we have others, you know, who like are baking and you name it, they're out there. A barber, you know, hands-on types of occupation.
Right.
So something that's not necessarily regimented. Because a lot of service members, when they get out, it's like, you know, I've had enough of that. That's not how I want to live the rest of my life.
Right.
Right. And things that they can do at home and be there for their families as well.
Yeah. And that's something that they can do for the rest of their lives. I mean, you know, stuff that they are passionate about and that they can't wait to do. I mean, that's the kind of things that, you know, should be provided, especially for veterans to have a passion, something like that.
A passion and a purpose.
Yep,
absolutely. And well, and I think you guys have hit it on the head there. What, Wendy? What about caregivers? Do you do any work with caregivers at the Semper Fi Fund?
Oh, we do, because we believe our caregivers need our support as well. They have been giving 24/7 to our service members. And we've recognized that since the very beginning when our service members were at the hospitals and we would take our family members out just for respite, you know, go out to dinner or get together. And it has evolved even more. We do caregiver retreats. We do where we bring our caregivers together. We'll have yoga, and we'll have wellness programs, and we'll have maybe someone come in and talk to them about post-traumatic stress and different things like that. And what else happens is that they get to network and be with other caregivers and
That's great.
And learn that they're not alone in their lifestyle. And one of the new things that we're doing is, you know, we were bringing people together. We're bringing our caregivers to one location. And this year, we started where we're doing, you know, neighborhood or more regional get-togethers and empowering our caregivers to set up little get-togethers in their neighborhood so that they continue the networking.
Well, that is so cool.
Good stuff.
Good stuff and original.
It is.
Thinking.
Keep the family,
you know.
Keep the family, you know, it's a holistic thing. Keep the family going.
Right.
Keep the service member going. We're there for everyone.
So you've been around for 14 years.
14 years.
How many of the original core group are still involved?
Oh, a number of us. A number of us who were there, you know, from our, you know, opening our first bank account and our phone numbers to taking the mail when we first started in donations. So it has grown. We have such an incredible dedicated staff and a large amount of volunteers across the nation, across the world, actually, because we have people, in Okinawa and Germany that are helping us. So it's grown. We have the best staff and volunteers you could have.
Now, I just saw a commercial, and I can't remember what it was on, for the Semper Fi Fund.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Are you guys involved with the sports at all? Professional sports?
We have a sports program, our team Semper Fi, Recovery Through Sports. We don't do a lot of advertising and marketing on TV ourselves, because one of our big tenets is that we like to keep our overhead down. So that's one of the things that we shy away from. However, if there's an event or a program that we're involved with other people, they will graciously help promote us.
Yeah, maybe it was some type of sporting event or something that they were raising money for
the Semper Fi Fund.
Maybe that's what it was.
Wow,
yeah.
And we love that. We love when other people can help us with raising funds and awareness.
It just it lets you know too, Wendy, that those people really believe in what you're doing. What's the best way for people to find out more about the Semper Fi Fund?
Well, I hope they're learning a lot today, but if they would like to learn more, our website has so much information, our Facebook page, Instagram, so many wonderful pictures and quick stories and small videos. In fact, we have a fantastic video library on our website that we encourage everyone to go on, look at our website, check out our videos, hear it from our service members.
Yeah.
They're the best testimonials to what we do.
And what's that website address?
It's SemperFiFund.org.
Oh, easy.
Easy.
Yeah, good.
Wendy,
well, listen, I hope people did learn a lot about Semper Fi Fund. Wendy, we want to have you back on and get some more updates, but you guys are doing a great job, and thank you so much for the time.
Well, thank you for the time as well, and to all of you out there, to our service members and their families, thank you for what you do. To protect our nation, and we're there for
well
you.
Said. Thank you.
Great stuff. We'll be right back in the National Defense right after this word from Farmers Insurance. When you're dealing with life's ups and downs, it helps to know the ins and outs of insurance. Farmers Insurance has been sharing practical insurance knowledge for more than 89 years. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. And for the Morgan Stanley Money Brief, we're here again with Michelle Morrow with a few more tips. And Michelle, last week we talked about the very exciting adventure of paying off your debt. So once you've paid off your debt, then what?
Well, first off, don't incur new debt.
Yeah, that's it. Well, sure. Yeah.
Exactly. I know. Easier said than done, of course. So a couple tips. Avoid living paycheck to paycheck by living below your means. Stick to your budget and hold yourself accountable. So we talked about having a budget. This means every month, watch what you spend, compare that against your budget. If you're seeing huge deviations, especially month over month, go back to your budget. Figure out where you can tinker with certain allowances, lowering certain bills, moving money around to make sure that you're sticking to your goals.
That's good.
And just remember, it's still okay to use a credit card. But just make sure that your purchases are within your budget so that every month you can pay the balance off.
Yeah, you're getting a good practice of that, right?
Exactly. It's fine to use a credit card, especially if you've got one that has miles and other kind of cash back and bonuses. But just make sure that every month you pay that off.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then the last thing, the last tip I'll leave your listeners with is, when you anticipate a purchase, especially a big one that doesn't fall within your monthly budget, plan in advance. So allocate a small part of your budget over the next couple of months towards that long-term purchase rather than paying for it up front with a credit card and then paying that balance off over time. Because what you might often find is that sometimes these are just impulse purchases and things that we think that we want or think that we need. And once some time has passed, as you're saving up towards that goal, you realize you don't actually need it.
Or you look at it and you say, boy, I'm glad I got that, and now I'm in debt.
Yeah, exactly.
So after all that fun, let me guess what comes next. Retirement?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very good. Yep. Once you've got your debt under control, it's time to think about retirement. And, you know, this topic could warrant its own separate entire show.
Right.
You know, so I'll do my best to keep it short. And obviously, there is a ton of resources out there to help you think about retirement. So really what I want to focus on is just sharing some questions for your listeners to think about as they get started.
Good, 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 good.
So first and foremost is, what type of retirement do you want to have? Do you plan to retire as soon as you can, travel the world, or do you foresee yourself always wanting to work, albeit maybe fewer hours or in a less stressful and possibly lower paying role? These questions will help tell you how much money you need during retirement to help you pay for things, including basic necessities like groceries and everything. And then next, you need to figure out what your income sources are going to be when you retire. Like, are you going to have a pension? You know, very few people will have a pension. And even as the military is now moving towards a blended retirement plan, fewer and fewer, even veterans, are going to have that benefit of having a full pension.
What if you just want to buy an RV and travel to Colorado?
That sounds like a great idea, too, as long as you think about it in advance.
You're right.
And make sure that you save up for it.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to have that understanding, don't you?
You do. You need to know how much money you're going to need and where that money's going to come from. So this really does boil down to good old-fashioned savings, meaning every month you've got to put money away towards this long-term goal. And what you do with the saved money can vary tremendously, whether it's cross-country in an RV or a lavish chalet in Europe.
Yes. Well, that sounds good, too.
It all does, right? But you need to know what you want, and you need to know that the choices that you make over time will really impact how much that money can grow.
Wow, some good stuff. Michelle, thank you so much. Some great information. Michelle Morrow from Morgan Stanley, and we'll be back here next week with a brand new Morgan Stanley Money Brief right here on the National Defense.
This radio program does not provide individually tailored advice. It has been prepared without regard to the individual financial circumstances and objectives of persons who receive it. The strategies discussed may not be suitable for all individuals. Morgan Stanley recommends individuals independently evaluate particular strategies and encourages them to seek the advice of a financial advisor. The appropriateness of a particular strategy will depend on an individual's circumstances and objectives. Tax laws are complex and subject to change. Morgan Stanley, its affiliates, and Morgan Stanley and financial advisors do not provide tax or legal advice and are not fiduciaries under ERISA, the Internal Revenue Code, or otherwise, with respect to the services or activities described herein, except as otherwise provided in writing by Morgan Stanley and or as described at www.morganstanley.com/disclosures/DOL. Individuals are encouraged to consult their tax and legal advisors, A, before establishing a retirement plan or account, and B, regarding any potential tax, ERISA, and related consequences of any investment made under such plan or account. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
This is the National Defense, Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And hey, so we've had these guys on a couple of years ago, a great group called Pause of War.
Yep, yep.
And they are up to some great stuff. Involving some of these canine companions, you know. And Robert Messeri is back with us, co-founder of Paws of War. Robert, how are you?
Great, guys. Hi, Randy. Hi, Jerry.
Hey.
Hey, good to talk to you again, man. You guys have really been involved in a lot of great stuff. And the story we want to talk about is this story of Army Specialist Zachary McIntyre and Mimi, right?
That's the dog. Yep, that's Mimi.
So kind of walk us through this a little bit, if you will, Robert. He's in Afghanistan and rescued from a burn pit. Kind of tell us the background there.
Sure. So we have troops in Afghanistan, strategically throughout Afghanistan, and there is very little movement for our troops there. It's very different than it was 8 years ago. Close to the camps, you have these burn pits where all of the debris that comes out of that camp goes into a burn pit. They're very large, and at the end of the week, they set fire to it, and everything goes in there. Everything from medical waste to food. And
which, by the way, are killing our veterans, those who've been exposed to those burn pits.
Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
That is true. That's a whole other topic, and it's a big story, and it's very true. It's very hazardous to us.
So when you say burn pit, I mean, what? Give me an idea of the size, Jerry. What when you say burn pit?
Well, they vary in size.
Yeah, but they can be gigantic.
They can be pretty big. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, they could be the size of a football field.
Wow. Okay.
Some of them. Yeah, that's how big they could be, depending on the size of the camps. And Jack heard whimpering. And at first he couldn't really see. He looked down, he couldn't see anything, and he climbed down, and he found this little puppy that was literally, you know, trying to find water and food, surrounded by syringes. And immediately lifted her up and got her out of that 50 foot, that's how deep it was, 50 feet, on a pitch, and named her Mimi. And he had got her back to health. Her health was poor, and it is not uncommon to have, you know, a lot of stray puppies in Afghanistan. They tend to fend for themselves. They're looked at, unfortunately, as just vermin.
Yeah.
So it was a blessing that Mimi found her hero, and Zach then obviously got her back to health. And fell in love with her, slept with her every single night. They actually did some movement together out in the mountains. And, you know, just they became inseparable. And now Zach has to leave, like every other deployment. And he is concerned that if he just puts her back out there, she will now fend for herself.
Sure.
And most likely die.
So he wants to bring her home.
He wants to get her home. He does not want to leave her behind. He starts to panic. He's frantic. He doesn't know what to do, obviously. He calls his mom and says, can you make some phone calls on the safe side to see if anybody can potentially help? So his mom reached out to us, thank God.
Before we get into that deal, Robert, I think, you know, maybe some of the listeners may go, well, just so bring the dog home. But it's not that easy. It's not that easy,
well,
right?
Yeah, it's certainly not that easy. So movement right now in Afghanistan is very difficult. The insurgents are plentiful, and generally we send a volunteer, usually retired special forces, to get the dogs. In this case, we have a shelter that we work with called Mauzad in Afghanistan, thank God.
Oh, wow.
And we were able to partner with them for the purpose of the logistics side of things. And they were able to work with us to get Mimi to a safe location, and then ultimately to Mauzad, and where Mimi is currently right now. Mimi is in Mauzad being cared for by Dr. Rashad and the amazing staff over there. It's the only animal shelter in Afghanistan.
Yeah, I'm amazed there is one.
Me too. Yeah. Is it in Kabul?
It's in Kabul, and it's actually operated by a Royal British Marine.
Ah.
By the name of Ken Farding, who's we've worked with over the years, and he's making some tremendous impact for the welfare of animals as a whole in Afghanistan.
That's cool.
So, what's
going to
happen now? What's going to happen now?
So right now, we are strategically getting Mimi out of working with NASA to get her out of the country, to get her flown back to the States sometime late June. And we are coordinating, of course, a date where Zach will be here stateside, and they will be reunited.
But now there's a cost to that, right?
There is a big cost, and we have a fundraiser up on our page. I believe it's still up on our Facebook page, which is Pause of War. Or there may be a link, guys, on our website, pauseofwar.org. We have a volunteer website person, so it's getting things done quickly never happens.
Yeah. What's our website address?
So it's pauseofwar.org.
Easy. Okay. Now,
just on the
will Mimi need to be quarantined when she comes back, when she arrives here?
The good thing is Mimi's her quarantine will take place in the in Afghanistan.
Oh,
we will. She will immediately see a vet upon arrival. We'll have her checked out and really just, you know, spend a day or two at the vet just to double check everything. But she won't require any quarantine here.
Now, let's step back for a second. You mentioned the fact that dogs over there are treated like vermin, which is absolutely true. And in fact, I'm amazed his command let him keep the dog, quite frankly, because I know that, there are orders given frequently to shoot the dogs.
That is true. We're very fortunate. So is Zach and Mimi. We've had a case just recently where a Marine reached out to us. They had five puppies, and we were going to start the motion to get them out of the country. This was in Iraq, and we got the early morning email that they were all destroyed by orders.
I can't stand that.
I can't believe that.
Yeah. Well, Randy and I are dog lovers to the max.
And I can't believe that
that's distressing to say the least.
It is, especially when you have a chance to save a dog like that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's something that we're really trying to change some of the policy, at least on a local level. We've done some policy change local at some camps where we were able to vaccinate the free-roaming dogs that were being fed opposed to euthanizing them, and that's working, and that's something we did in Jordan. But it is tough, and it's, you know, these guys did it. They're really sacrificing everything in their lives, including their safety, of course. And this is the only thing that gives them any joy. You talk to their family, and when they call home, usually it's a very, very simple phone call that they're just, there's not much to talk about. They can't say much.
Right.
But when they have a dog in their life, all they talk about is the dog. All the pictures they get of the dog.
Right.
It really makes a big impact for them. So we do everything we can to make sure that dog comes back safely and do what we can to keep it alive while it's there. But unfortunately, these situations do happen where this particular one just happened this week.
So we got to do what we can. Hey, all you dog lovers out there, help this situation. Reach into your pocket. Give up your lattes for a couple days.
What kind of money are we talking about, Robert, to make this happen?
So the total right now was $6,000. That was raw expenses. That was before the dog leaves Afghanistan.
Right.
And then any expenses we're gonna provide Zach, because Zach's still going to be active, so we're going to be providing Zach with training. There is training going on now in Afghanistan, but very, limited.
Sure.
But he'll have a full-time trainer to work with Mimi and everything else that goes along with that. He will be living, on a base here until he gets redeployed. So
I mean, $6,000 bucks.
Not that much.
That's not an exorbitant amount.
No,
make something like that happen.
If some people give up their lattes for a couple of days, and donate that money instead of sucking down that latte.
Where do they go,
do a good
Robert?
Thing.
What's the best place to donate?
They can go to pauseofwar.org, or they can go to our Facebook page and they can read the whole story. And there's a link right there as well.
Yeah,
and that's the Facebook page. Pause of War.
Yeah, I just looked on your website, and there's no specific
mention.
No specific mention of this story and Mimi. I mean, there's a place to donate, obviously, but it's always, I think, more effective when you're donating.
Absolutely.
Where your money's going.
That was the struggle we have with having a volunteer web person. If they make a donation, they put Mimi on it, it will go directly to that.
Okay. Okay, so if you just earmark it, Mimi, then it's going to go to that. Okay,
bring that dog home to help our veteran.
Absolutely.
And hey, dogs are people too. So
they sure are.
Save that dog's life.
Yeah, save the dog's life and maybe save the veteran's life. I mean, that's it's an easy thing to do, and $6,000 is not a tough mountain to climb in terms of getting some people involved. So, well, Robert, listen, thanks again, man. We love having you on, and it's always, you know, right in the middle of a case that you're trying to get done.
And keep us posted.
Yeah, absolutely.
We will. We'll get you absolutely get your photos, videos of updates when they reunite. Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh,
cool.
That would be fantastic. Thank you, Robert.
I'll get you. Thank you, guys.
Trevor Marischek deployed 4 times during his 7-year Navy career, with missions in Iraq, the Philippines, and Afghanistan. Chopper was with him for 2 of those tours. Each had saved the other's life, and in the process, developed a lifelong bond. But their years of combat had taken a toll, and Trevor began experiencing symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder.
I can't sleep for the life of me. I try the best I can. I wake up with cold sweats and tremors and have, you know, daydreams, nightmares, all that.
Re-entering civilian life is tough for any soldier. For Trevor, coping with traumatic brain injuries and PTSD, it was especially challenging.
You can't do a decade of aggression and 10 years at war and be unscathed. Getting shelled for 6 months straight, or getting shot at, or picking up some of my best friends who got blown up and putting their body parts in, you know, body bags. I do suffer from post-traumatic stress, battle stress, anxiety, nervousness, and it's going to be with me for the rest of my life.
In 2011, Trevor sought help at the National Intrepid Center of Excellence, or NICO for short, at the Walter Reed Medical Center in Bethesda, Maryland. NICO offers specialized treatment for vets with traumatic brain injury and psychological conditions, such as PTSD. They see service members who have either plateaued in their recovery or aren't getting better through conventional means. Trevor's plan included therapy with Dr. Robert Kaufman, a psychiatrist and fellow Navy man.
Everyone who serves in uniform serves by desire and does so at a cost, unfortunately. Sometimes that cost is dear, but that cost is never without a lot of transition. And people who come back from war come back differently.
Chopper served out of love and loyalty to Trevor. And now he continues to serve in his own way back home.
The best thing that I have going for me isn't medication, there's no pills. It's my dog. It's my dog.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and it's time for another episode of Eye Insights from VSP Vision Care. And Navy veteran Dr. Robert Meisel is with us. Dr. Meisel, how are you?
I'm doing great, Randy. Thank you.
Hey, why does my eye twitch? How come my eye keeps twitching?
Well, that's a good question. There are several answers of possibilities. One of them is just stress. It's an involuntary twitching of the eyelid.
Yeah, because it doesn't do it all the time.
Well, no, but sometimes it can be a little dehydration, especially in a dry climate or being under an air conditioning duct. Sometimes that can cause it. There can be also a lot of caffeine, too much of that ingredient in your system can do that. Lack of sleep.
Wow.
So there are lots of things that can cause it. The treatment really, typically, if it isn't something that's physical, like a little particulate in the eye that's just causing you to blink a bit, or if it's something that's dry, you can, of course, just re-wet your eyes with a lubrication drop.
Sure.
But the other things are just stress. How do you do that? Well,
right.
For meditation point, don't maybe drink as much coffee. A lot of times people just do it and don't even think there's any repercussions from caffeine, or just as a population, people are getting less sleep.
Yeah, yeah. Sleep is always so important.
Yes, and sometimes it's an overlooked ingredient in good health, but certainly not. And also people who stare at their smartphones, sometimes they can get fatigued from that.
What? How can you tell when it gets to be a problem, when it's a chronic condition?
Well, just as you said, chronic, meaning that it happens on a repeatable basis. Mm. If it's just an occasional occurrence, there probably isn't much you can pinpoint with it, except, as we said, if there's something where it's a dry eyes, then you might want to start doing a little preventive moisture drops once or twice a day. But the other things are just are going to go away when the underlying cause is addressed.
Yeah, and we were. My wife is always very kind of anxious about these floaters that she has in her eye. But those are kind of normal, right?
Correct. Everybody will get floaters by the time they're 70 or earlier. I got my first one at age 16.
Wow.
And I thought for sure I was going to go blind.
Yeah,
until I
bet. Yeah.
Oh, no. People get those, but sometimes they can be a signal that something is changing in the retina, so they shouldn't be overlooked. But typically, one or two of the little floaters are pretty normal, and you can almost play with them, kind of moving them around as you move your eyes.
Right. Yeah. Well, but and Dr. Meisel, I think that's another point to bring up, that if anything like that, floaters, eye twitches, anything like that, if it gets to be to the point where it really is affecting you and you're concerned about it, the best situation is to go to your optometrist, right?
Exactly. Have an eye exam and just rule out all the other possibilities.
Yeah, I was just amazed. I mean, with my optometrist visit, and I had not been in for, I guess, about a year and a half, and my vision had changed just a little bit, but it was just kind of nice to get that reassurance about some of these other things that you thought may be going wrong that were just, normal aging situations.
Exactly. Just getting reassurance that everything is still fine. And that's one of the positives about the profession that I loved, was having the ability to tell people everything looks good and just keep doing your preventive care and we'll be together for a long time.
Yeah, just a little peace of mind. Dr. Meisel, can you tell us about your exciting announcement for our listeners coming up very soon, right?
Certainly, yes. VSP is currently the vision carrier for federal employees through the Federal Dental and Vision Insurance Program, but in January, there's going to be certain retired members, families, and active duty family members that will have vision care as an offering. So if you want more information on that, it's tricare.benefeds.com has all the information you'll need.
Yeah, you guys need to check that out, because this is going to be very exciting for a lot of people and very beneficial. Tricare.benefeds.com. Dr. Meisel, thank you.
Once again, Randy, thank you.
We'll be back here next week with a brand new edition of Eye Insights from VSP Vision Care right here on the National Defense.